Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Dominic Enyer. I'm usually on the other side of the glass.
Dominic, welcome into the studio again. It's always enjoyable when you're on the program. Yesterday, Doug McBurney and I, we did the Monday show, as Doug often visits. He's a member, one of the leaders at Denver Bible Church. And after the program, you had mentioned to Doug and me that you use KGov, our website, as a resource. Could you share with the audience what you told Doug and me?
Yeah, I was having a discussion with someone online, and he challenged me about the flood.
Which flood?
Noah's flood, the global flood. He challenged me about that. He said there's no evidence for it. So I just went to KGov.com/flood. And there was this giant long list of evidence, and that's when I realized I go to KGov all the time to look for evidence to use in online discussions. I like to get in discussions just to, like, test my own knowledge somewhat. It's rare that you all convince someone that you're right, but it's a good way to, like, keep yourself sharp. So I do that occasionally. I go online and have discussions with these people.
So, Dom, I would like to do what you did right now. So I'm online here, of course. And I'm looking at two different web pages, kgov.com/flood, and there is a table of contents right there. And one of the items is the evidence that corroborates the global flood. That's the second thing in the list. So I also happen to know there's a shortcut to that. It's kgov.com/evidence, which happens to be the evidence for the flood. I know that because, you know, we create this website over a period of 20 years or so.
Yeah, and on that page, there is a list for both secular arguments for that you can use against worldly people, and there's a biblical argument, which you can use for other believers. And I took a few of the ones from the secular list, and I gave them to that guy. Like, for example, an average of a mile deep of sedimentary layers on the continent.
All over the earth.
Everywhere.
Yeah. That's on average.
Yeah.
Right.
And then billions of dead things laid down by water and strata all over the earth was going down the list. It's a few bullet points. And I also used a documented extinction event that destroyed 90% of all species that lived in the oceans.
Wow. That's the first three pieces of evidence, right, for a secular person, for a materialist. But then that same page has evidence for Christians. And the first bullet there is that Jesus in the New Testament repeatedly affirmed the global flood. And like that should be sufficient, right? Even going so far as saying that only 8 people survived the flood. That's pretty cool. So that one page has powerful evidence, and it's things that people could relate to and can easily confirm for themselves. It's not like a list of trust us, like there's the secret knowledge that only we know, and it supports the flood. No, this is the overwhelming evidence from science and from the Bible that tells us there was a global flood.
Yeah. And what's funny about this particular discussion I was having was this guy brought up Aaron Ra. He said, here's a series from Aaron Ra that disproves the flood.
Mm.
And I was talking to him. I said, it's funny you should mention him because he challenged my dad to a written debate after my dad destroyed him in a broadcast debate.
He has millions of views on YouTube. So in that world, he is like a YouTube star, atheist, very harsh, very angry. But in the radio broadcast, he kept doubting the scientific observations, the discoveries I was making, like for example, all the mammoth tusks that come from Antarctica, beyond the Arctic Circle, and he doubts that. So it turns out that it's been documented in credible sources that there have been like about 1 million tusks from mammoths that was part of a major worldwide trade in mammoth tusks many years ago. And so, but he thought, well, if we have a written debate next, then he could win because he could prove that I'm wrong on all these things. Well, the written debate did not go well for Arun Ra at all. And it's still online, and we link to it, of course.
Yeah, two funny things about that debate I remember was in that debate, you were saying that Isaac Newton was a creation scientist, and he was denying that because he was saying he never disagreed with evolutionary science. And at the time, that wasn't a science, so he didn't need to disagree with it.
Well, that's right. And plus, Isaac Newton, he wrote more about the Bible than he did about physics or mathematics, science. And he wrote that God created the solar system. He rejected the fact that the planets could end up orbiting the sun based on gravity, which, by the way, he discovered universal attraction. And he argued for the truth of the chronology of the Bible. He was a complete committed creationist. He was a biblical creationist. And Arun Ra has the nerve to try to claim that Isaac Newton is a scientist on their side of atheistic origins.
Absurd.
How absurd. And, you know, even in the written debate, he lacked the humility to acknowledge that was wrong.
Yeah. Speaking of the written debate, I was going back to that with this discussion I was having. And I noticed, of course, so your profile picture on that debate is just a picture of you. You're in the studio with your microphone. And that's just your picture. And I noticed with him, his was a picture of some, like, cartoon demon thing flipping off the person looking at it.
Yes.
And that's just so typical because so many atheists just have no regard for civility. They're taught they came from animals, so they act like animals, like you always say.
Yeah. On our website, kgov.com/filthy, we quote from a column in the New York Times where this woman is asking, why in the world are all these evolution websites, a famous evolutionist, why are they so filthy and vulgar and hateful? And we point out that if you reject that God created you, you're pretty much left with your base bodily functions. And they don't really have a frame of reference in which to think of things that are pure and holy and just. They lack that frame of reference. So what they end up talking about is things like excrement and reproduction. That's pretty much it. That's who they have become. Animals.
Yeah. And the point of this isn't just the flood.
For the kgov.com website?
Right. There's just so many resources available on there for creationism, theology, like, say, open theism. Is the future settled or is it open? Like, did God plan everything out? Or are we free beings with a free will?
Yeah. And is God free to change the future? Or is everything eternally decreed and it always was?
So I remember at my homeschool co-op, I remember I got into a discussion with one of the kids there about open theism, and she brought up Matt Slick and Karm.org. And I thought that was funny because, like with Arun Ra and this last guy I was having a discussion with, she brought up Matt Slick and was saying, here's all the things Matt Slick said. I said, it's funny you should mention that because about 2 months ago, Matt Slick had a debate with Will Duffy at my church about open theism.
Right, exactly. Isn't that just so awesome?
Yeah, so I sent her the links to those.
So we have, and on our website, kgov.com/slick or kgov.com/opentheism, whenever there's two words, when we say it on the radio, there's a hyphen between them. kgov.com/open-theism, you find not only this list of 33 categories of Bible verses that support open theism and oppose the notion that the future is settled and has always been settled, but also the analysis of the debate with Matt Slick, it's rather ugly how Matt Slick behaved in this very high profile. It was live broadcast on YouTube. It was videotaped. It's broadcast on the radio. And the way he behaved was very disturbing.
Yeah, I remember he was always, when he was talking to Will, it was in a very degrading tone. He was like, I don't have a time to teach you a sermon about this right now, but we could get into that later and I could educate you on that. And it just felt a little rude. And I also remember Will brought up the potter and the clay passage in Jeremiah 18. Mm. And he said, I'm unfamiliar with it. I haven't spent much time with it, so I'm not qualified to give an answer on it.
When he said that, Dom, many of us were in shock.
Yeah.
Because the potter and the clay is one of the top five arguments for the Calvinist, right? God is the potter and we are the clay. Only they like to quote it from Romans chapter 9. But there, Paul is quoting it from Jeremiah 18. So you can't be a studied Calvinist and not know Jeremiah 18, even though Jeremiah 18 completely contradicts the Calvinist claim of what that means. So for Matt Slick to say, I'm unfamiliar with that passage, I can't address it. And then Will tries to just read it and to refresh his memory, and he just came down so hard. I said I'm unfamiliar with it. I can't address it. Next question.
Yeah. And what's funny about that is it isn't just our speculation that it was Matt Slick saying, of course you would know about this. We went to his website after the debate. 2 weeks before, he had given a Bible study on Jeremiah 18.
Yes.
2 weeks before. And then during the debate, he said he didn't know anything about it. So it was obvious he was just planning on saying that he didn't know about it.
That was his intention, because he did prepare for the debate. And he did know that we use Jeremiah 18 so powerfully. It is such a strong argument against Calvinism. It's even a strong argument against Arminianism, in that God is free. God could think a new thought. He could design a new butterfly. He's eternally and inexhaustibly creative. And so, therefore, the future cannot be settled. It has to be open, because God is free. And Jeremiah 18 shows us that so powerfully. So he knew that Will Duffy, one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, he knew that Will Duffy was going to bring up Jeremiah 18. He intended from before the debate to lie and to say he was unfamiliar with the passage. Dom, you've been around, like you said, you're usually on the other side of the glass in the studio here. You've been around for years now. In fact, thank you so much for all you do to help run Bob and Your Live. It's just awesome. And it's an honor to be your dad. Your mom is so proud of you. You've been around here for so long when we have debated atheists, evolutionists, homosexuals, pro-aborts, and the way that Matt Slick behaved in the debate was the way that many of those, the leaders of those groups behave, with lying, deception, manipulation, mocking, and certainly not all Calvinists behave that way, but it is common in our debate with Calvinists that they behave in very unethical ways. I had a high-profile debate downtown Denver with James White at the Brown Palace. We've got something like 35,000 views of that entire debate on our YouTube channel. Just kgov.com, click on the YouTube link at the top of the page. And he lied so incredibly about that debate. We've created a two-minute excerpt where five times he answered a question I asked. I asked it over and over and over because of how powerful it was. And he completely lied about that. The dramatic debate aftermath was so significant. It involved R.C. Sproul Jr. and Will Duffy as the organizer of the debate. It's all very powerful, and it's absolutely tragic. Basically, James White and R.C. Sproul Jr. denied the incarnation in order to defend their Calvinism. They denied that God the Son became flesh. They act as though Jesus became flesh, but not God the Son, because they believe that God the Son cannot change in any way whatsoever because he's eternally, utterly immutable, which is a pagan Greek philosophical view of God, rather than that he's the living God. And so, of course, he can change.
Yeah. One more thing about Calvinists, just while we're on it, is I noticed that whenever you back them into a corner, whenever you say, like, hey, this is whatever you're talking about, they always tend to obfuscate and say, like, oh, well, this is just how we're thinking of it in human standards, when in reality we need to think of it in God's standards. And they always try and, like, twist things to make it. It's being intellectually dishonest.
Mm. Yeah, because, like, they'll say over and over, God's ways are higher than our ways. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you're automatically right in every argument.
Right. I remember Zach, my brother, he always says, whenever you're in a debate about theology, God's ways are higher than our ways first is the loser of the debate.
He's the one who was losing.
I totally agree.
Yeah, that's true, right? Because it's so deceptive, because yes, God's ways are higher than our ways, but it doesn't mean you're always right, or whoever says that first is right. And God's ways are not lower than our ways. So when a Calvinist claims that everything that happens was eternally decreed from before the foundation of the earth, and you see the horrific murder at the synagogue, the mass murder on Saturday, or you see the priest molesting children, raping boys for decades, thousands of children raped by homosexual Roman Catholic priests, or you see, I think of the criminal in Florida who kidnapped this little girl out of her bedroom window, and he molested her, tortured her, and buried her alive. And to say that God decreed that for his glory and his pleasure.
That's sick.
It's sick. It's blasphemous. It's inherently blasphemous. And that would be a claim that God's ways are lower than our ways.
Right.
God's ways are higher than our ways. They're not lower. And the first person to quote that verse is not always the person who's right in the argument.
Right. I remember just the other week on Drudge, there was a headline, and we were reading through the story. A young guy, and he murdered his mom, and at the end, he had a quote that said, "If God didn't want this to happen, he would have stopped me," which that's exactly what Calvinists say.
In fact,
it's like
you had pointed out a Calvinist friend we have. I mean, some of our best friends are Calvinists, right? We love them, and they love the Lord. So we're so thankful for that. But just recently, that friend had said, well, if it wasn't God's will, he would have stopped it. And so for all the perversion and the filth, and yes, in the Bible, of course, they could point to times when God brought judgment and God brought people from earth to heaven. He can do that. He's God. But that's different than a man committing adultery and murdering the woman so he won't get caught. It's different from that.
Right.
It's not the same.
Not at all.
Right. So that's how they extrapolate from God's righteousness to making all filth and perversion and blasphemy, all of it a result of God's decree.
Yeah, totally. And then another conversation at that same homeschool co-op with my teacher. She was actually my government teacher. Sadly, she's fairly liberal, which even the liberals are infiltrating the co-ops, the homeschool Christian co-ops
right,
now.
Right, right,
right. But I was having a conversation with her. And we were discussing Venezuela. That was our class project for about a month. We had to figure out what to do with Venezuela. So I went to kgov.com/Venezuela. I just typed that up, see what would come up. And sure enough, we have a page on Venezuela, the tragedies that are going on there.
It's horrific. And from a year ago, whenever you were in that class,
right,
things have gotten so much worse. It's absolutely horrifying to read the accounts of women and children, men too, of course, and what's happening to them, and the starvation and the prostitution. It's just utterly heart-wrenching,
it's
happening to millions of people.
Right, because of socialism.
Yes.
But I remember in that conversation, she was asking us to give a plan as to what to do, what the government should do.
What should America do about Venezuela?
And I remember me and one other kid in that class, we both said, America needs to invade Venezuela.
Mm.
Military invasion. That's why I got off of KGov.
A humanitarian military invasion.
And it would be bloodless. They don't have any power to resist.
Most likely.
Right.
But there might be some fighting.
Sure. But I remember I was telling my teacher about that. And like I said, she was a liberal. And she told me and the other kid in the class, no, you're not allowed to turn that in as your answer to this assignment.
Okay.
And I thought, what do you mean? You asked me what my opinion is.
Right, right.
And I'm not allowed to have that opinion.
Right.
So then I had to come up with some bogus other thing that I didn't actually believe in.
Right.
And when I turned it in, I said, I don't believe this is correct. I think this is wrong, but I'm doing it just to get a good grade.
Now, Dom, what if you would have gone to KGov's resource on Venezuela and found that the ideas there were false? They're incorrect. They're not valid. What would you have done?
Well, then I guess I would have had to come up with a different solution.
Sure, of course. Would you have brought it up to me? Do you ever come to me and say,
all the time,
Dad, why are you saying this? What's the evidence for this? Of course, one of our sons who's now, you have six brothers, seven sons, and six of them are older than 18. You'll be 18 in May, right? May 1st, coming up pretty soon. And one of them said to me, we have family gatherings often. Our kids, everybody lives within like 5 minutes of us. It's really awesome. And one of your brothers said to me, Dad, when I became an adult, I moved away. In fact, he moved, you know, Nathaniel. He went to work with a manufacturer, a friend of ours in Las Vegas for 5 years. And he said, so I'm on my own. I'm an adult. And now I have to defend my own worldview, my own arguments. And time again, the things that I had heard as I was growing up, when I went to look, totally search on my own for the truth of these issues, I found overwhelming evidence that this was true, even though the whole media would reject it, or the culture or the church would be liberal, overwhelming evidence that this is true. And he said it was so rewarding to have that experience so that this worldview that I was taught became mine as I became an adult.
Right. And it's so valuable to have your worldview and recognize it. And I know just talking to my friends that a lot of them, their parents never talk to them about having a worldview or what to think about this issue or that issue. It's just all their discussions are so shallow almost, and they never think about these things. And then if they need to get into a discussion about this, they're unfamiliar with it. So just having the foundations of these issues, it's so valuable to be able to stand up for what you believe in.
That's real encouraging, Dominic. And a year ago now when you said to your teacher, we need to have a humanitarian military invasion of Venezuela, it's so much more obvious today that that's exactly what is needed to save perhaps a million people from starvation. Think if it was your own niece or your wife or your mom who you know is starving to death, how you would move heaven and earth to try to save her, save him. But in Venezuela, gradually this is happening now to tens of thousands and perhaps a million people. Many have frozen to death on their treks across mountains to try to escape to freedom and not prosperity, just food, just a meal.
Yeah, and of course their tragedy there is because of socialism.
Right, which violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal. That's why socialism is wrong, not only because it doesn't work, but because it's immoral.
Right. And speaking of God's commands, another big one today that we have to, sadly, we have to argue nowadays is thou shalt not murder, of course, being with abortion in the U.S. It's legal, so we need to fight that. So another place I find myself going to all the time is AmericanRightToLife.org/talking points.
Oh, yeah.
Liberals with arguing about abortion, they only have 5 arguments that they just cycle through. That's right. All they do.
Right, right. It's as though they've never thought about it beyond the cliches.
Right.
And so that Talking Points article, it's pretty powerful, right?
Right. And it just goes through all their talking points and just dismantles them.
Mm.
So when I have discussions online, I almost never convince anyone, but it's like a good way to keep myself sharp.
Yeah.
So that when we're doing it in real life, I know the answers to their objections. So I find myself going to AmericanRightToLife.org/talking points again.
And, you know, Dom, there are these websites that we have been fully involved with, American Right to Life, ProLifeProfiles.com, YoungEarth.com, 360DayYear.com, quite a few of them. And someone has suggested that we create a custom search engine using Google Search, which you can do, so that if they want to search all the family of websites that we've been involved with a single search, they can do it. So it would be like a power search, searching kgov.com and all of these other resources with the same exact search.
I just want to point out one more thing with that. So I go to the talking points if the liberal makes an argument, and then I look at it, I read it through, I think it through, and then I'm just able to just copy and paste it right into the conversation, and it saves a lot of time having to type it up.
Sure, it's powerful.
Like so many other things we have on KGov, like one of our resources you can get from our store, God's Principles of Government. I went through that before I had that class with my teacher who
didn't want government.
On government. I went through that, and I was talking with her about all those ideas about democracy being bad. She thought I was crazy.
Democracy? Right.
Yeah.
Because so many conservative Christians think democracy is great as long as you have a Republican form of democracy. But it's not. It's a catastrophe.
Right.
Jesus said the majority is evil. And in fact, the majority shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And that's what the majority does.
And it's funny. Everyone today thinks that the majority of people are idiots, yet they love democracy.
Right. Right.
Another thing I used in that class was I was saying marijuana should be illegal, and I was giving a few reasons why, and my teacher asked for a source, and I just said kgov.com/pot. It's so easy.
Yeah, it's maybe the best source on the entire internet. And we've done that. We've made an effort to do that over decades. When there's a topic that we're going to maintain over a period of years, we try to make it the most effective list possible. For example, for all the scientific papers showing the negative effects of marijuana, the dangers of marijuana, they're all right there at a concise list.
Right.
You could click on each one and go right to it. It's just phenomenal.
Then there's also kgov.com/nicer, which is nicer than God. Mm. I use that quite a bit. My friend's youth pastor, I've had quite a few discussions with him on that, and I've sent him the link to that, and he read through that, and that was an interesting talk.
Wow, that's awesome. And judging.
And judging.
They say Christians can't judge, shouldn't judge, forgiving, forgive everyone. All sins are equal.
All the Christian cliches.
Right. The Christian cliches and all those resources are all linked right there. So if you go to kgov.com/judging, you can find all these resources. And the same thing with nicer than God or forgiveness and so on.
Yeah. And then miracles. That's another one on KGov. And then one of the most recent ones was kgov.com/Luther. You mentioned you were talking about Luther on Sunday, and I was having a discussion with one of the guys.
Martin Luther, yeah.
Right. How wicked he was in his anti-Semitism. I was talking with one of the guys after church about that. I brought up the website, so we had a good talk about that.
Yeah, kgov.com/Luther. And since that sermon, people were posting, you know, quotes from that sermon on Facebook or wherever in their social media. And so many Christians respond in utter denial, saying Luther was not a racist. He was not an anti-Semite. It's a total lie. And so now we're beginning to take the quotes off that page, kgov.com/Luther, and spreading them far and wide, like Charisma Magazine, this largest charismatic magazine in the country, I think, did this article saying that Luther was not a racist. He wasn't an anti-Semite. And I pasted all these quotes directly from Luther. They took down my comment. I pasted it again. So far, it's there with some likes now. Hopefully, it's going to stay there. So we'll see. But yeah, for Christians to deny that would be like for Jews to deny that King David committed murder and adultery. And how destructive that is when you cover up, you whitewash sin. When Christians do that, expect things to be really, really bad.
And speaking of whitewashing things, it's like the Catholic Church, they're whitewashing things. God would never whitewash things. Mm. Catholic churches, they're trying to whitewash all the sexual immorality that's going on there. But yeah, we're about out of time. But one great portal to our website I would recommend everyone go to, our about page, kgov.com/about.
Yes. Yeah, that's so helpful. I use it all the time. All right, Dominic, thank you so much. This is Bob Enyart for kgov.com. May God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.